Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
The Mormon Channel presents Mormon Identities, a program about real Latter-day Saints as they live the restored gospel of Jesus Christ in the world today. The gospel shapes our identity and serves as a common thread in the other factors that help define who we are. We will explore these factors and discuss topics about our community and culture, scripture and doctrine, and life experiences and challenges. Mormon Identities, here on the Mormon Channel.
Welcome to Mormon Identities, a show about Latter-day Saints, who we are, what we believe, and how we live. I am your host, Eric Huntsman, and today we have an interesting episode, Latter-day Blogging, talking about how we present ourselves and our identity to others, but also to each other on the internet. I have three guests whom I'm excited to welcome today. The first is Emily Jensen. Emily Warburton Jensen loves searching through the LDS blog world, and we'll talk more about what the blog world is in a moment, for discussions, photos, lists, videos, polls, podcasts, sites, developments, and testimonies that best capture the ever-evolving LDS online experience. She also writes for the Mormon Times, particularly the online Bloggernacle Backbench, I think it's called, Emily. She's a former Ricks College journalist and a Utah State University journalist, and majored in print journalism in 2001. She loves the ski, horseback ride, sing, travel, and enjoy dark chocolate. She hones her writing and editing on various projects and books while mommying, or mothering, five mostly delightful children. I love the mostly delightful because we all know what it's like to parent, many of us. Also with us, we have Blair Hodges, who received his bachelor's degree in mass communications with a minor in religious studies from the University of Utah. He blogs at Life on Gold Plates and hosts the FAIR podcast for an organization that does apologetics or defending the faith. Welcome, Blair. Also, we have Catherine Soper. Catherine Leonard Soper is a writer, editor, and mother of seven. She's the founder of a literary journal for Latter-day Saint women called Segula and contributes to Mormon forums, I guess we'll say, across the spectrum of different kinds of media and interest areas. We're going to have a conversation here among the four of us, but first I'd like to have Emily kind of lead us through what blogging is. And in fact, Emily, if you'll pardon me, let me read something for all of us before we begin. A lot of the leaders of the church have actually encouraged us to be pretty proactive in projecting our identity beyond the confines of the church. And Elder Ballard of the Council of the Twelve in particular has really talked about this. And I was reading recently a message in the July 2008 Ensign that Elder Ballard delivered. It was adapted from an earlier address. He called it sharing the gospel using the internet. You know, we hear so often about the evils of the internet and all the bad things that happen, but it's important to use this as any tool for good. And in a section in his message called Joining the Conversation, he said the following: "Now, may I ask that you join the conversation by participating on the internet to share the gospel and to explain in simple and clear terms the message of the restoration. Most of you already know that if you have access to the internet, you can start a blog in minutes and begin sharing what you know to be true. You can download videos from church and other appropriate sites, including newsroom.lds.org, and send them to your friends. You can write to media sites on the internet that report on the church and voice your views as to the accuracy of this of the reports. This, of course, requires that you understand the basic principles of the gospel. It is essential that you are able to offer clear and correct witnesses of gospel truths. It is also important that you and the people to whom you testify understand that you do not speak for the church as a whole. You speak as one member, but you testify of the truths you have come to know." I just wanted to mention that first, Emily. So we had in mind that we're supported in this effort, but there are some parameters I think we should follow. So talk to me, Emily, about what blogging is, first of all, in general, and then we're going to talk about the history of LDS blogging.
Okay. Well, I am really excited to be here and excited that you started with that quote, because that is a quote that you will find throughout the blogosphere for, what's the word?
validation
to keep doing what they're doing, because the people who blog are so excited to be there talking about our religion, discussing different tenets of our religion or missionary work or just making connections with other members of the church. So I would say that blogging encompasses all of that. Blogging is an opportunity to be online, to make yourself heard, to learn from others, to testify, to do all sorts of things in the online world. And you can get really technical on what a blog is. A blog is technically what it started out to be was a journal of sorts. And it has expanded into more of a discussion-oriented site where people can come and talk with you, leave comments, or just pretty much, I don't know, the technology is growing and growing. So blogs are becoming different things all the time. So you have people putting videos on their blogs. You have people podcasting on their blogs. You have people linking to sites. It's just getting bigger and bigger. And it's really exciting to see where it's going.
Emily, if you don't mind, let me ask you a few technical questions. And without, you know, recommending particular sites or ways of doing this, okay. I need to understand how someone establishes a blog, because I've come rather lately to this. You know, in the old days, if I had something I wanted to share, I sent it to a massively long email distribution list. I became known as somewhat of an email junkie. I filled people's email inboxes with e-junk, I guess. But you said that this blogging started with people posting their thoughts online so people could come and look at them if they wanted to, rather than being the victim of, you know, e-spam or something. But then you mentioned that now we have sites where people can leave comments and there's multimedia involved. So how does that work? Someone finds a hosting site?
Right. It's pretty easy to just go to a search site and put in how do I start a blog to start a blog, and they'll give you the different platforms. There's probably two or three big ones that people use.
What's
most
in
of times.
It for the platform to host your blog? I mean, does it cost money? Do you have to get advertising?
It depends on the platform that you use. A lot of them have little advertising things built in. Sometimes they're just doing it. There's a whole big open community movement going on right now where people are just doing it just to do it, which is really cool. And there's different sites to do that. So for the most part, you could pretty much find a platform that you will host your information without having to do advertising.
Or paying some kind of fee.
But I was going to say there are places that you do need to pay fees. I don't know. With yours, you have a fee-based site, don't you?
Well, if you want to have your own domain and you want to you know, host your own site.
Like, you'd have to pay for the domain name.
For the web host service.
Yeah. Well, see, when I first became aware of blogging, it was mostly because people I knew had family blogs, and I ignored this for about a year. But then they'd say, if you want to come see pictures of our new baby or of our trip or something, and suddenly it became apparent to me, wow, this was an interesting way of keeping up with people.
Right.
So I became aware of it through family-based blogs. But you've mentioned that people do this to think out loud, to write, to share their testimonies, to share information. So members of the church got into this movement pretty early, didn't they?
Right. And you mentioned the family-based blogs. That is a huge component of this too, because you have the quote, mommy blogs. Now you have the daddy blogs. I'm seeing a movement now where there's fathers blogging as well. And that really plays into our journal-keeping mentality and family history mentality. So you've got that. But even the mommy blogs or more individual blogs do it to also just write and to promote their own ideas and to do whatever they want to. It's becoming a really interesting conglomeration of all sorts of things. It's really exciting. Pretty much you can find whatever you want to find.
Now, without making a list of particular sites that people should go see, let's say that I've never heard about blogs before and I've listened to this podcast and I want to find LDS blogs. Do I just search LDS blogs or Mormon history blogs or Mormon families blogs? Or
you can. Certain sites actually have a search option where you put in blogs, and you can put in a search term and then put blogs, and it will automatically come up with all of the blog sites instead of just plain websites, which is exciting. Not to put too much of a point on it, but you can go to Mormon Times. I cover blogs, and that's a good place to start for people who are not too familiar with the blogs, and I will highlight blogs every week, and you can go through all the archives to see all the sorts of different things that I do. And I also give technology tips and things on how to start blogs or how to find blogs, how to start their, how to do a family blog, all sorts of things. It's really
Blair?
Exciting.
Yeah, there are things called – it's called a blog aggregator. You can find websites that actually list a bunch of different LDS blogs, and they'll have – it'll show you what's appearing on various blogs. There's one called ldsblogs.org, for example. It's unaffiliated – you know, it's sort of its own –
So it's not endorsing any particular one. It's a resource.
It's a resource to go to so you can see all the different blogs, and it's nice because you can see – all the headlines from the different blogs that are, you know, so you don't have to go to each individual blog. You can just see what they're talking about on different blogs and then go from there. It's a nice little home base to branch out from.
Okay. Well, you know, when I first became aware of this, I heard this term bloggernacle, which I guess is clearly taking tabernacle, a place where we come to meet, to worship, to sing, to speak. And it's been applied to the blogosphere. That's another term I've learned. I'm sorry that I'm the neophyte or newbie to this. Bloggernacle. So this is the world of LDS blogs, I guess?
Yes. And, you know, a couple of years I would have probably – I don't know if we'd be having this radio program because it really hadn't taken off too much. But most of the listeners probably will know what a blog is and will have heard maybe of the bloggernacle, because if you're getting to be an online presence, pretty much it is becoming a louder and louder voice of Mormon ideas and Mormon testimony online. In fact, I was really excited to hear President Nuchdorf even mention in this last conference that, you know, he kind of did a shout out to the people who were blogging the conference, because that's been happening.
Right. I don't know if he necessarily was encouraging people in the conference center to be texting, but
he was very aware.
Please pay attention while you're blogging.
Yes, very aware that these conversations are being had, and it is becoming more and more popular. So. It started, though, a history of the blogs. You could go clear back where people were, as you said, kind of having email lists and trying to promote their ideas that way.
Mail serve list or something.
Mail serves and all sorts of things that I was not even aware of that time. But as the internet became more popular, especially into the 2000s, the blogs became the new medium for instead of clogging email lists and whatnot, to start your own kind of individual site. And so November 23rd, 2002, the blog Metaphysical Elders was founded, and that's what pretty much is
that was like the first LDS
blog.
That title even kind of gives it away, Metaphysical Elders. They're elders, but they're not in the real world. They're in a virtual world. Now, with that introduction, I'd like to turn to our other guests, because we've selected bloggers who deal with particular kinds of subjects that are LDS connected, but there are also different kinds of blogs. Blair hosts what we call, I guess, a solo blog, where he's the main participant, and Catherine hosts a group blog. So, Blair, before we talk about the kind of things you're interested in, tell me exactly how a solo blog works. I mean, it's part of what Emily was saying, of course, but it seems like a lot of work to me.
Well, a solo blog's nice because I have full creative control over the website, and I'm also not beholden to anybody else's positions. And it can be fun to work with a group. I blog on another blog. I'm part of another blog where we group together. But I've maintained my own solo blog because that's sort of my place to say what I say and talk about the things that I like to talk about without feeling like I need to, you know, toe any sort of line. Or it's a place for me to be me and to put my things out there for people to read. So full creative control over it, and it's as difficult as you want to make it.
And I guess it's as time consuming as you want to make it.
Exactly.
You know, I can imagine someone who posts something once a month. You don't have to confess how often you post, but I suspect it's more frequently than that.
Yeah, it is, and you do want to keep it going because you want people to see new content. You know, the less you post, perhaps the less often people are going to stop back in, and so you do want to keep new information coming out there. But if you want to take a week or two off, that's not a problem, and you can create several posts and then set them up to post once a week. There's a timer.
Now, one of the things Emily was mentioning, and I've seen this in the few blogs I visited, that someone will post something and then there are comments. And sometimes the author responds to those comments fairly frequently and sometimes just lets it take on a life of its own.
Or you can shut down the conversation at any point. On a solo blog, it's your blog. You can stop those comments. But yeah, it's
– which I think is important, because with that quote from Elder Ballard that we began with, if you want to make sure your blog is faithful and representing the church adequately – I'm not talking about censorship here, but – there's nothing to keep outsiders from coming in and kind of peppering your comment list with things that
– Sure.
The trolls.
Yes, the trolls.
Okay. Now you're going to have to help me here. Troll. I mean, I understand the term trolling. That's like when you're sneaking in or something.
someone who shows up to make trouble. I mean, that's their main agenda is to express dissent, get people stirred up, just be contrary. And
they'll post under a pseudonym. They'll come in
I guess the appropriate thing is you say somewhere on your blog, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We welcome conversation, but we ask you not to do X, Y, and Z.
Right. You can comment put that policies.
Right, yeah. Right by the comment section you can put, I have a little paragraph that just says, you know, I welcome all views, even critical views. I welcome all views, but I do reserve the right to remove any content that I don't like. Or I mean, it's not really an issue of censorship since it's a private blog. It's it's the author's discretion.
And you'll notice on many blogs that they'll have, we are not an official representative of the Church of
Jesus
Christ.
Well, and I want to go back to what Elder Ballard said. He said, make sure you mention that you are an individual. This is your testimony, and you're not speaking for the church as a whole. And I think that's important.
That caveat on many blogs.
And that's not just, I think, not only to the benefit of the church, but to the benefit of the person, because you know we all come to the church with our own experiences. So not only does it, keep our – we're not trying to represent the church, but at the same time we're representative of the church. And so we get to do that with – I think it's sort of, you know.
Now, your training is in mass communications but also in religious studies. So in your solo blog, since it's you, it's whatever you're interested in, but I suppose there's a lot of historical issues you deal with.
Yes.
What other kind of things are interesting to you?
Well, I started off – the whole project began by – I was going to blog the whole Journal of Discourses. I was going to read through 26 volumes and annotate and look at the historical circumstances.
And you got through volume one.
Volume four.
Well, you got through four volumes.
No, but looking back, it's really not that high quality either. So it's funny to look back. But that's how it began. And then I became more interested in philosophy and theology and even contemporary news. And so with the solo blog, you know, I can put all of those things on there. I do a lot of book reviews, things like that.
Okay. I was going to say, I like to go to Blair's site for his book reviews. He gives very thorough and very intellectual book reviews and will be critical sometimes of even church books if he finds – but again, it's his own opinion and I understand that in reading it.
You're listening to The Mormon Channel. Our show is Mormon Identities, where we're talking about Latter-day blogging. If you would like to download this podcast or any other episodes, please visit us at mormonchannel.org. Let's talk a moment about group blogs. Catherine, your blog is kind of a combination effort. Tell us a little bit about what a group blog is and then how yours in particular started and how you manage it. Because, you know, whenever there are groups, there are group dynamics. So I'm kind of interested
Indeed,
in this.
Indeed, yes. our blog started as a way of supporting our publication, the literary journal Segula. And since then, we started the blog in 2006. Since then, it's kind of taken on a life of its own, and we get more readers of our blog than we do of our print publication.
Okay, so both your original journal and what the blog has become, if I understand correctly, is to give voice to Latter-day Saint women.
Yeah.
Not just to talk about women's issues or the woman's role in the church, but things that are important to them across the spectrum. Is that correct?
That's correct. It explores Mormon women's experience. Our mission is to encourage literary talent, provoke thought, promote greater understanding and faith among Latter-day Saint women. And we aim to explore life's richness and complexity while maintaining faithfulness, reflecting faithfulness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And although we are certainly not representative of the church, we do take seriously the mandate to serve the church well with what we're doing. I mean, I wouldn't want to invest all of this time and effort and energy in an endeavor that was going to harm the church somehow. Mm-hmm. And we strive to make sure that our blog is something that is overall uplifting.
Well, you know, both you and Blair were talking a bit about comment policies. And I suppose if someone's interested in starting a blog or joint starting a blog, that'd be a really important thing to do is say, you know, we want open discussion. We want to look at all of these issues. But we're faithful or we're questioning. Whatever you are, you need to say up front and then and be true to that. And as Elder Ballard says, make sure you're representing yourself. You know, very few times I've been asked to guest blog, usually seasonal things on a couple sites. And, you know, it's interesting when you know people are going to be reading that, I at least – censorship's not a popular word, but I always self-censor. I think, you know, I want to make sure I'm not misinterpreted. I want to make sure I'm representing the gospel as I know it accurately. I want to make sure I'm being uplifting. And so I think that's probably an important thing for people who are interested in projecting not just their own identity on the blog, but as Blair put it, we're not representing the church, but we're members of the church. And we want to show what Latter-day Saints can be like. And that's across the board. Not that we're just all faithful, perfect people, but we're thinking, interesting, creative, different people. That's one of the things we're interested in on this show is Mormon identities. We're all Latter-day Saints, but we come from different backgrounds.
Maybe a better word instead of censorship would be self-edit. You're trying to put your best person forward.
Well, because in publishing, we do that all the time. And Correct. We even have paid editors who help us, go through and make sure we're saying what we're trying to say and doing that accurately. That raises a point that I would like to visit about for a moment because, Blair, I know you're also interested in what we call apologetics, which means in the original sense of the word, defending beliefs, defending the church. Because when Elder Ballard was talking, he wanted us out there so that non-members would see who we are. And he talks a lot about civility in blogging, I think perhaps in the face of criticism of the church. In his talk, he talks about things to avoid. Every disciple of Christ will be most effective and do the most good by adopting a demeanor worthy of a follower of the Savior. Discussions focused on questioning, debating, and doubting gospel principles do little to build the kingdom of God. And then he quotes some things from the scriptures. But he says, as you participate in this conversation and utilize the tools of new media, remember who you are, Latter-day Saints. Remember, as the proverb states, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And, I was thinking in particular what happens if an anti-Mormon comes and starts trashing the church. But as I've looked at Latter-day blogging, as often as not, it's us having conversations with each other. And it's almost more disturbing to me. I mean, I almost expect someone of a different faith tradition to come and say, I don't agree with that, or why do you Mormons believe this? It's almost more disturbing to me when the comment string becomes vicious or a little unpleasant when I know it's one faithful Latter-day Saint ripping on another Latter-day Saint. So I'd like all three of you to talk a little bit about not just self-editing in terms of content, but how do we self-edit in terms of demeanor and how we respond? And let's start with Emily and then Blair and then Catherine again.
I think that comments are so important because so often the post itself – so the post is, the main story in the blog, the main thing that has, recently come up. We'll get people thinking and we'll think about their experiences. And within the comments, you'll find so many people, adding to it, adding their testimony, adding their own experience, or perhaps disagreeing. And so when it gets – it's difficult to read people's comments because I read so many comments throughout the Bloggernacle that are deciding to be mean or deciding to try to one-up perhaps another commenter. And so when you get to that point, often the blog administrators will step in and try to help, or other bloggers will sometimes say and call them out and say, we don't do this on this blog. I see that often. So in terms of getting online to our listeners, perhaps who haven't been, maybe just to understand, to have an awareness that they will come across that, and that is not the that's such a small percentage of the wonderful, faithful people that are on the blogs. And so it's difficult, though, because sometimes they are the loudest voice or the people who are.
Blair, how do you deal with that kind of situation?
It's interesting because this also bears on the question of why Segula's blog has been a little more successful than the print journal. And I think that it's because of the space and the time that's involved, the time that it takes to respond to something that you've just read. It's instantaneous and it's
right. Where in the old days you had to write a letter to the editor that might be printed 4 months after the original article or something, and everyone forgot about it.
They're taking it by horse to the. But so there's that space and time issue first of all. So you can react instantaneously without being able to take a step back. Secondly,
sometimes that's the problem.
Right. Then sometimes that is. So it's a benefit and it can cause these sort of.
Once again, I'm new to this. In the old days, when I was just having email conversations with people and sometimes work-related conversations, my wife would always say, do not push send. sleep on it. Yeah. Read it again the next morning before you send it. And I never listened to her and I would push send.
Yeah, there's a cartoon.
And people
of a...
can respond too quickly, can't they?
Oh, definitely. There's a cartoon of a fellow sitting at a keyboard and he says, like, not right now. I'm not coming to bed right now. There's somebody wrong on the internet. And he's sitting there. And that happens. You get in sort of an intense discussion. And so the other issue that I'd bring into it is the issue of anonymity, which can be a positive and a negative thing. The negative aspect would be that disinhibition effect, which basically is the idea that if no one knows it's you, you can sort of let loose. And again, it can be a positive or a negative, but when it's a negative thing, it can really start a little firestorm and cause problems. So just like Emily said, it's important to know that those sort of arguments are going to happen. It's much different than a Sunday school class where we're all sitting with each other. And so it's a lot harder for me in Sunday school to raise my hand and respond to a well-intentioned comment from Sister Jones that's sitting across from me than it is to respond to Billy123 on a message board and say, you know, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. So it can be easier to be argumentative in that situation. So you got those issues to take into consideration.
Well, and whether you choose to be anonymous or not, and I've never done anything anonymously. That's how I self-edit. Mm-hmm. I'm out there. People know who I am. But whether you're anonymous or not, you're still a Latter-day Saint.
Sure.
You're still called upon to be a Christian. Catherine, tell me about your blog and how you deal with these kind of issues.
Well, I like your point about how we are beholden to behave in Christian ways even when we're anonymous on a blog. At Segula, we tend to not have as many firestorms as on some of the other blogs, like I've blogged at Times and Seasons and By Common Consent. The big group blogs often have what we call train wrecks of conversations where things are just kind of falling apart as far as how people are addressing each other. Our blog, we mostly have women commenters, and women, you know, forgive me for this, but tend to be more polite overall, don't challenge each other in quite as blunt and a direct way mm-hmm. as blogs that have a mixed audience.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, I have to – when I'm moving from a blog where there's a mixed audience to a blog where it's mostly women, I have to purposefully change the angle of what I say, because otherwise I'll offend people.
So this is like anything else. You need to be aware of your audience.
You need to be aware of your audience.
In Sunday school, in your Sunday school class, Blair, differently than you would speak with your girlfriends at lunch or your guys as you're out playing racquetball or something. And I actually want to just say something, just because we're saying you need to self-edit and that you need to remember who you are. I think it's just as important not to become kind of a vigilante orthodoxy police, because I would say, you know, always be respectful of other people's ideas. And people who have questions and are struggling, you're shutting them down isn't helping them come to a resolution of their questions or come back to a position of faith. You know, my wife always says people's responses and feelings may be ridiculous, but they're their feelings. And so, you know, I think when I see something, I say, I'm sorry you feel that way, or I can see how that's problematic to you, but this is the way I understand it and this is what I believe. And once again, we're following Elder Ballard's injunction where we're just representing ourselves, not claiming that we are the spokesman of church doctrine, but we're trying to be accurate. We're trying to be Christian.
I think that the challenges of interacting with people on the internet can actually present some really valuable spiritual development opportunities. I feel strongly that most people blog because they have a desire to understand and to be understood. And that is the very essence of a Zion community, is to have an understanding, be of one heart and one mind. And so some of the most challenging experiences I've had interacting with people online have actually been the most valuable, because they challenge my assumptions. They challenge my narrow-mindedness. And as you said, in terms of the show being called Mormon Identities, I think we all tend to think that our own version of being Mormon is the one right way. And blogging challenges that every single day.
Another thing that I love in terms of how you can connect with people is that it breaks down boundaries. It breaks down social boundaries. It breaks down geographical boundaries. You are meeting people and learning about people from all over the world,
whom you may never encounter in real time.
And so it's the most exciting thing to me. I remember when I was young thinking, I'm going to be able to meet, you know, people from these different countries when I die, you know, when I can meet my brothers and sisters from other parts of the world. I'll have to wait. And that's not necessarily – I've not had to wait. I'm learning and meeting people from everywhere, and it's wonderful.
That's great. Emily, Blair, Catherine, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Mormon Identities, where we've been talking about Latter-day blogging, how we can express ourselves and learn more about each other
on the internet. Thank you, listeners, for joining us for another episode of Mormon Identities, where we talk about what it means to be Latter-day Saints, who we are, what we believe, and how we live. Until next time, remember that today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
You've been listening to Mormon Identities here on the Mormon Channel. To download or podcast this episode, please click on our homepage, radio.lds.org.